We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Live from the Kingdom Bar and Grill in Overland Park, Kansas, the KC Sports Network live postgame show is about to begin. KC Sports Network is the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City. Millions of views, millions of podcast downloads, and the highest ranked Chiefs podcast network of 2022. KCSN is where you want to be for news, commentary, and analysis with a collective perspective on the Kansas City Chiefs that can't be found anywhere else. With more than 15 hosts, analysts, and former players you've watched play putting out nearly 20 shows per week, KCSN is a network for today's fan. Now, it's time for the KCSN Live Postgame Show. Here's BJ Kissel from the Kingdom Bar and Grill in Overland Park.
Coming across to the left, on the run, Kelce! Kelce, touchdown! The hat trick!
I am so fucking hyped! I've been holding it in all season. Oh. I don't give two shits right now. Chiefs, God, that was beautiful. 30-27, Chiefs over the Chargers as Travis Kelce caps it off with the drive that sealed the MVP for Patrick Mahomes, who goes off 20 of 34, 329 yards, three touchdowns, and clears it, fixes it at the end. I can't even talk right now.
I know you. This has been such a fun experience to watch him during this game. It's been so amped, been so on edge this whole time, and just getting to see you celebrate this dub after
I hold it in. I hold it in a lot.
Yes, you do.
It's a baseball background. Just you control your emotions. And I've said from the beginning that when the Chiefs win the division, I was going to be insufferable. And it's going to start on this podcast right now because the Chiefs now have a three-game lead over.
Four. It's really four.
Technically, yeah. It's a four-game lead with seven to go. They just won the fucking AFC West for the seventh straight year at a time where everybody doubted them. And they did it in historic fashion in that all of the injuries, all the things that we're going to get into in this game, all the guys that were out, and Patrick Mahomes still found a way to freaking get it done on the road against those dudes. Keenan Allen making the play. It was beautiful the way that it went down. I'm so excited. This is the KCSN live postgame show from the Kingdom Bar and Grill Overland Park. We appreciate you for watching, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you listen to the podcast afterwards or on the 101 The Fox Facebook page, or whether you're watching on Twitter. We appreciate you for spending part of your night with us. We know it's late. We know it's a Sunday night, but man, this is beautiful. It is a great night in Chiefs Kingdom. This game had highs and lows and a roller coaster of emotions, and we're going to break it all down. Craig Stout and Maddie Land are going to join us here in just a little bit, but this was a beautiful way to cap off a seventh straight season of winning the AFC West. Let's call it right now.
Yeah, call it. Just stop
it's
the
over.
Count. Stop the count. I mean, the Chiefs have effectively a four-game lead on the Los Angeles Chargers because they beat them twice, once at their home just tonight,
and the
Raiders and the Chargers the Raiders and the Broncos both three
stink.
Wins. Yeah, they're terrible. They have a 5-game lead on both of those teams as well. So AFC, despite everyone in the AFC West spending $1 billion to try to stop the Chiefs, it's over before Thanksgiving.
There are so many things. I don't even know what order to go in. I started to have a plan. Now I don't care. I apologize for language. Who gives a shit? This is the big reason to be excited. Where do you want to start?
The MVP of the National Football League, Patrick LeVon Mahomes. Can we go there? Is that okay?
Why not?
Yeah, I think we probably should because, you know, like this was not the prettiest football game across the board for this offense, but they came through late when it mattered and had a big drive. Patrick Mahomes, 23 yards rushing. I believe most of those came – one of them was a big run late in the half.
Again, yeah.
But finishes the day 20-34, 329 yards and 3 touchdowns, all 3 to Travis Kelce. Ever heard of him? Is he any
just
good?
Beats Derwin James. Chris Collins was going off about Derwin James and how they're shutting him down until it freaking mattered on the last drive. Just watch it right here. Look who's trailing the greatest tight end to ever play. Look at Nasir Adderley trying to tackle. Like, just unbelievable. That was early.
I think that was
one of his 6 catches for 115 yards.
Several big plays from Travis Kelce running through some of the offensive highlights today.
Look at that throw.
Look at that dot. That was an absolute dot from Jody Fortson down the sidelines. The play calling there was outstanding too, because like I think they were in like at least 12 personnel. I know 13 personnel there. Just running their tight end down the seam. It was nuts. I mean, he was great. I mean, he was great for most of the day. The funny thing is the stat line didn't look great. Like at one point he was about 50% completions for a big stretch of the game. And you know, he came through in a big, big way late.
Yeah.
Hey, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. If you're watching this, by the way, helps us grow this channel. Leave some comments, talk some trash about the AFC West.
Let's talk again. There are a lot of storylines. We talk about Travis Kelce, talk about Patrick Mahomes again. We're going to have Craig and Maddie on a little bit.
Oh,
look who's trailing
him. Oh.
You know, I want to give a shout out to, there's a lot of people. This is not in any particular order, but Sky Moore.
Yeah.
This is the Sky Moore game. There's going to be a lot of breakdowns, I'm sure, throughout the week. But Sky Moore finished this game with 5 catches for 63 yards. And I don't know if the last one was the third down. I don't think so. We had 2 huge third downs earlier in this game.
Yeah.
And then had the big catch on that final drive. Huge for Sky Moore to step up at a time that he was needed. Kadarius Toney leaves this game early with an injury. We know MVS was banged up all week. Juju not playing in this game. McCole Hardman got placed on IR. You're talking about the MVP. He sealed it right there in front of the entire world to watch with a banged up wide receiver group. Obviously has Travis Kelce as his number one option, but for Sky Moore to step up and make plays in that scenario on the road with backs against the wall, all that, huge performance from Sky Moore.
Sky Moore, one of several guys, but
fucking cool.
he's unhinged. BJ's unhinged. Sky specifically, like I know a lot of people were really concerned about him, right? There's a lot of concern about him. And the lack of production to this point. I think some people, like, it's a little bit over. I wasn't worried.
They're hiding him.
They're hiding. Maybe they might have. They looked kind of
not too high, but
hiding Pacheco a little bit too. He's coming on strong late. But
we'll talk
like
about him a second.
I'm sure we will. There's a lot of guys we probably need to talk about. But Sky Moore, I think he's always like, I think he's always been in the plans. I just think it took a little bit of time to get him some opportunities and to find some opportunities. He earned a ton of trust tonight. Yeah. And he's a guy with the kind of talent that can really help down the home stretch. And that's really great to see in such a huge, crucial game for this football team, him stepping up and making some plays when there were some guys that were struggling to stay healthy or were just all the way out. And so big, big, big game for him and some big catches, like you said, on third. I think at least 2 third down catches.
Yep. And we're gonna talk about Isaiah Pacheco. We don't want to get too much into this before Maddie and Craig have a chance to come on and talk about it too. But Isaiah Pacheco finishing this game with 15 carries for 107 yards, his best game of his career. I think he had like 82 yards last week, for his best game. Obviously added that, and we saw it early in the game. Just feed him. You follow him on social media. Just feed him the rock. Chargers severely banged up front is why it was a storyline coming into this game. We talked about it on KCSN. Everybody seemed to be talking about it. This was an opportunity. If there's ever a time for Andy Reid to run the football, because everything is telling you your wide receivers group is kind of banged up in general. The Chargers defensive front, especially that D-line, very banged up outside of Khalil Mack, a bunch of second, third stringers outside of him. This was the chance for them to run the football, and they did. Again, we'll talk about that more in a minute, but I do want to talk about the defense because it's what set the tone for the Chiefs, and it started in that last drive at the end of the first half. The Chargers had second and goal, I think, from like the 3-yard line. They hold them to a field goal, and then the next 2 drives to start the second half, that was an opportunity that the Chargers could have really extended the lead being up right there. next two drives for the Chargers to start the second half. I think it was eight plays, like a total of 18 yards, kept the Chiefs in this game, and obviously the big interception at the end to seal it.
Before they stopped him for that field goal, I think a lot of Chiefs fans, if you're reading on Twitter too, they were thinking, hey, 31-13 before Mahomes gets the ball back because the Chargers start with the ball. A lot of, you know, there's just not a lot of positivity about the defense. I don't blame them. The response, though, by that defensive side of the ball was impressive. It was so impressive. And it started with that field goal there. Chris Jones was outstanding today. And the funny thing, like the front really, I mean, I think we're going to talk about the defensive front here. I think that's the group that really set the tone for this team, because there's a lot of injuries in the secondary that we'll probably have to talk about at some point when we all kind of breathe a little bit. But
tomorrow,
maybe. Yeah, it's just,
I'm going to be hyped for the rest of the night.
I know you will. I I know you will. But like, you're looking at Juan Thornhill out. I think Legarius Sneed was checked for some injuries as well. I mean, Brian Cook was having to play a significant role there late. So just a wonderful response by this football team when, I mean, their backs were up against the wall in a big, big way. We've talked about this. I don't know. Yeah. It's probably one of the biggest games remaining on their schedule. One of three. Yeah. I mean, the Bengals game's a pretty big one. This one, there's not many. Maybe Seattle. Good. Like, that's it.
They won the division. Like, they sealed the division for the seventh straight week. I know they're not going to call it. A lot of game left. All those things. Andrew's going to say, I'll say it. They're up four. They have a four-game lead in the division with seven. They just won the division in week 11 after an offseason, which a lot of people, I went back and through, there were some people that were saying, we think the Chiefs are going to win. They got to go prove it and all of this. Not giving them the respect they deserve because of the changes in the offseason, what the other teams in the AFC West did. But, yeah, I think, and we talk about the defense, one player you got to talk about, and it's a tale of two halves, because to be fair, there were a lot of people early in this game that were questioning, not just the entire defense. They were questioning Chris Jones. Where's the pressure?
No.
Where's the penetration and all of that? Whatever they said, and they don't have a lot of time for second half adjustments. They're not sitting in the locker room and doing all that stuff at halftime. But Chris Jones came out and proved why he should be in that conversation for Defensive Player of the Year at the end of this game, forcing, even on the interception, maybe get a hurry, not going to get anything in a box score outside of the advanced analytics to get him off his spot and for them to make that interception and make that play. But Chris Jones took over late in this game.
All right, the Chris Jones stat line today, 5 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 4 QB hits. Just he, and I, that's understated, I think, the impact that he had on this football game. He was very disruptive. I didn't think he was playing too bad early, honestly, either. Like, I know some people were, you know, wondering about that, but I thought he played a fantastic football game. Absolutely fantastic football game. Hey, this is kind of a contract year for him. Like, the Chiefs are going to have to make some decisions about him, you know, contractually. The contract year is undefeated for, you know, it's the same thing. He's playing out of his mind. He had an absolutely dominant performance that, should put him in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation.
Sorry.
Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Leave some comments. Talk some trash. Flex a little bit. The Kansas City Chiefs are 4 games up on the Los Angeles Chargers in the AFC West and 5 games up on the Raiders and the Broncos. Let's ride.
Sorry, we're 12 minutes in. I haven't said this. BJ Kissel, that's Ken Swanson. Tucker Franklin is producing this show for us. He'll have some presser updates, and he'll be the voice that just kind of pops in every once in a while for people watching on Twitter, watching on Facebook, watching on YouTube, wherever you're watching, or if you're listening to the podcast audio afterwards. We're going to bring Craig Stout and Maddie Lane on here in just a second. But before we do that, quick pause on the breakdown stuff. We'll have some highlights, all kinds of cool stuff here in a minute. But one of the coolest things that we're doing at KC Sports Network, one of the coolest things that we've done over the past year, it's the second year we've done it. It's the Soul of KC Holiday Raffle and Toy Drive. It's a partnership that we have with Operation Breakthrough. You can see the list of prizes right there. Everything from a Patrick Mahomes jersey, Creed Humphrey autographs, stand-up sign, Trey Smith signed, KC Pioneers, the esports team in Kansas City, one of his autographed jerseys, and then lunch with Colin Saunders, the CEO of Stuff Nation. You've got Chiefs tickets, you've got gift cards, you've got Cookie Society for an entire year, gift card to Holiday Distillery, Frank Clark signed football, Sky Moore signed football. You got all kinds of cool shit on there, and we're selling raffle tickets. 100% of the money that is raised is going towards presents and toys for Operation Breakthrough and their Christmas store. We raised just under $14,000 last year selling raffle tickets that went towards toys that we went to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought. We're going to run a quick video here real quick, and then we'll get back to the game. But here's a quick video to show you what last year's looked like, and we're trying to be even better with it this year.
Thank you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just a little B-roll right there. We've got the link to the KC Sports Network Venmo that we will put in the description. We'll drop it in the chat. Again, tickets are $20 for one ticket. You get 10 tickets for $100. And again, it's a 501c3, our foundation, so it's all tax deductible. Help us help a lot of kids in Kansas City have an even better Christmas. So we appreciate everybody who's donated already, those who donated last year. Again, 25 different prizes that you can win by buying raffle tickets to this. Again, all the money's tax deductible. You can get a lot of cool stuff.
It's one of the coolest things that we do here at KC Sports Network. It's one of the coolest moments of the entire year for us. We all look forward to it. Please consider. I think you said there's a link in the description of the show, right? So definitely help us do that.
I'm going to drop it in the chat right now.
All right.
Link going in the chat.
And we're selling raffle tickets through December 6th. And then we are drawing winners during the post-game show of the December 11th game that the Chiefs play. So we'll announce winners on December 11th and mail everything out. So hopefully you get it before Christmas. But let's get back to this game. I held it in as long as I could because that's really important. I want to get there. I want to announce it. But let's get back to this game. Let's bring on Craig and Maddie right now. Craig from Wichita and Maddie down there in North Carolina. This one is going to be fun to talk about. Craig, let's start with you. How are we doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fucking phenomenal, you guys. This is wonderful. My goodness. Okay, first of all, I'm going to ask the room right here. I'm asking the chat, too. Was anybody worried? When the Chiefs got the ball back with about a minute 40 left, I think all of us looked around the room and just went, oh, no, it's going to happen. Two timeouts, minute 40, Patrick Mahomes is going to go down the field. It's going to happen. And, of course, it's Travis Kelce again. Outstanding finish to the game by the offense. Defense made enough plays in the second half to close it out. I mean, they stepped up when they needed to. That's what matters. Division basically in Kansas City already.
Maddie, how you feeling?
Oh, buddy, I'm feeling fantastic. Unlike some of my co-hosts here, I never wavered. I stayed strong. So here's it, Craig. You've been
listening. The DMs stay. Hey, what happens in the DMs stays in the DMs.
Oh no, buddy. No. You're getting this is getting put out there, Kent. We are sitting here listening to you talk glowingly about the Chiefs, telling us how excited, flexing on everybody. And buddy, if I was going through these DMs right now, I would have thought the Chiefs were down by 50 with about 55 minutes left in the game. This man was on edge. Me, never once. I was so happy.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Okay, okay, so Maddie.
While we're just outing people, let's bring up the conversation with Tucker worried about all of his little bets. And at one point, he had like a $5 parlay. I was like, I don't give a shit about your $5 parlay. I'll give you $10. Shut the fuck up and just pay it out for you. Just stop talking about it. And let's win this fucking game so we can be insufferable on the post-game show.
I care about your bets, Tuck.
We care about
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
$5 bet, and he's like the end of the world.
Craig, you brought up something about you brought up something about the two-minute drive. Mm-hmm. And I felt very good with the situation that the Chiefs were presented. And I think that there's always like, I think there's a default setting for some of us as Chiefs fans where like we just wait for the other shoe to drop. And I think the gravity of in the storylines that would have surrounded Mahomes if the Chiefs hadn't come back and been able to put that drive together because of what happened in the Bills game where Mahomes had the ball, a chance to score, a chance to win the game, all that stuff. Like that narrative was going to creep in, and that was going to be the one thing that was going to make this MVP race competitive for the next 7 weeks. And so like there was some like I didn't doubt it. There was like a little bit of anxiety and gravity that you kind of just feel, I think, at times just with some of the narratives that we have to endure as Chiefs fans when the best player in the world. But no, he just continues to fight all those things off and goes out and puts together a masterful drive to close out the game.
Absolutely. He goes 11.7 yards per throw in that last drive. Absolutely outrageous. Now, you know, gets the ball to MVS, gets the ball to Sky Moore, gets the ball to Travis Kelce, like an outrageously good closeout to the game. I mean, after two plays, the Chiefs were at midfield. They were getting ready to knock on the door. Derwin James gets beat like a drum by Travis Kelce, gets a holding penalty called on him, and like then gets beat drum. Like a drum again.
Like a drum.
Like a drum for the touchdown there. Absolutely elite performance by Patrick Mahomes. Like this is the MVP right here. They're going to look back on this, especially with Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen struggling. Those were the two legitimate contenders to the MVP race for Patrick Mahomes. This tonight on the national stage on primetime might very well be the very reason why Patrick Mahomes wins the MVP this year.
Oh, we were already trending that direction. But I mean, this 2-minute drive, like this right here, is everything, right? Like, you don't win the MVP and like a specific and week 11 or 12 or whatever it's going to be, right? You don't do that. But having this moment, having that drive to put out there and put on, you know, kind of the resume for this matters. And then as we're running through those highlights there, getting to also put that Jody Fortson throw into it, getting to put the scramble on that last drive into it. Like, Mahomes did absolutely everything you can want. Like this throw right here to Fortson, and just that being part of this same game makes it matter so much more. And then as you go through, you get to that 2-minute drive where, I mean, he's throwing to wide receiver 4, 5, and 6, and they got Marcus Kemp out there playing snaps. And like, this team is missing so many guys, and it doesn't matter. They're still going down there. He's still winning the game with the team on his back. He's getting a ton of help from all the guys that matter. But like, this is Patrick Mahomes NFL. Has been for years, still is. Every now and then, the people need a little bit of a reminder, and that's it. And I'm so happy that we're getting it kind of still in the middle of the year rather than at the end of the season.
Y'all forgot. Y'all forgot. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you are watching this, please. Helps us grow the channel. Helps more Chiefs fans find it. Leave some comments. Talk some smack. It's time. Run your mouth a little bit. The Chiefs are up 4 games on the AFC West before Thanksgiving. This is ridiculous. You have every reason to be puffing your Chiefs chest out if you're a Chiefs fan. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the receiving lines here real quick for the Chiefs because you guys talked a little bit about it. And at one point, the first catch for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the presumed number one receiver for this football team in this game because of the absence of Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman being out. He didn't have a catch until the final series. Kadarius Toney did not record a catch. He went out with a hamstring injury. Outside of Travis Kelce, and this is not insignificant amounts of yards, okay? Justin Watson, 3 catches, 67 yards. Sky Moore, new nickname is The Limit, 5 catches, 63 yards. I'm making it a thing, Maddie.
Monster game. Monster game.
Jody Fortson, 2 catches, 51 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 1 catch, 18 yards. Noah Gray, 2 catches, 15 yards. They did all of that without basically their number one and number two receiver heading into the game, playing any kind of role whatsoever, like any kind of significant, you know, impact on this game, Maddie.
No, I mean, they absolutely did. And I think it's even worth remembering for like Justin Watson too. A big chunk of his yardage was there at the end of the first half, right? So on that kind of not really a Hail Mary play. So they were really down a lot of guys. And like you could see they were trying to piece it together. The Chargers do an excellent job playing the Chiefs wide receivers. And especially you're going to take Juju away. You're going to take Mecole Hardman away. They're just playing a lot of man coverage. They're putting Derwin James on Travis Kelce, who beat him like a drum later in the game.
Like a drum.
They're putting it on him. they're sitting there. They're saying, hey, you can't beat us with this receiving group. And it looked like it was a little bit of difficult for the Chiefs in the first half. But then guess what? They have this guy. His name is Patrick LeVon Mahomes. And it doesn't matter who he's throwing to. He doesn't need his two best receivers to be healthy like some other quarterbacks in the AFC West. He doesn't need him to go out there and beat him. He can go out there and do it with the guys that they have. And I don't want to diminish what Watson or Sky Moore, or Jody Forts, and all these guys were doing. I'm not trying to diminish it, but there's a huge difference between throwing to the guys that you've been throwing to all season and throwing to these guys that have been getting, you know, depth reps throughout the year. So it's just phenomenal. And I'm just so happy that Sky, and I'm not going with that nickname more, got out there, got opportunities. And as the game went on, he started getting opportunities within the rhythm of the offense. That was the big difference from the first half to the second half. Mahomes was looking for him, and it was cashing in every single time. I think that's going to be huge for his confidence down the stretch.
Yep.
And that might play a big role.
That scramble drill, that second reaction play by Sky Moore, where he goes down and picks the ball out of the dirt there, was phenomenal. Absolutely terrific play there by Sky Moore. Ran really well within the structure of the offense, came up huge on third down time and time again. That matters in such a big way, especially when you've got defenses that are keying so hard off of Travis Kelce, who, by the way, is still great on third down. 11 touchdowns, ties his regular season career high. We are in the 10th game of the season, 10th. But Sky Moore stepping up in that scenario matters so much, because I think we have a lot of hope for this receiving core, as young as it is, and we know that they need some development. Today felt like a giant step forward for Sky Moore's development, the trust level that the offense has in him, and that Andy Reid will have in him. So I'm looking a lot forward to next week, because I want to see more Sky Moore now.
Chiefs have now won 25 straight games in the months of November and December, and Patrick Mahomes now 14-0 in road divisional football games. And one, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but I personally have brought up Harrison Butker a lot. He goes 3 of 3 on field goals, hits all of his extra points in what ended up being a 3-point game. So shout out to Harrison Butker for stepping up on the road when he absolutely needed to step up. But guys, we haven't talked about the refs yet. The fact that you overcame
all
of this. No, we're going to talk about this because it was such a storyline earlier that we're going to forget about it because they ended up winning.
Yeah.
But they had to overcome everything. You had the MVS non-call. You had the Tony chop block. Somebody needs to explain, Maddie. Somebody needs to explain.
It's called a good block.
What the hell that call was.
Good block.
And then the Creed Humphrey holding call. And then the Travis Kelce basically getting tackled early that was not called.
So for me, all those calls, I think there's definitely a reason as a fan of the Chiefs to be upset with all those calls, right? Like, I do think that it stinks that none of those were called. I didn't find any of them egregious. I know I'm going to be in the minority here. I don't understand the Tony one. I don't understand what they are going. They tried to explain it by it was forceful contact on the head area or something. I don't get it because he was definitely moving upfield more than horizontally towards the football, right? So I don't understand what they were calling there. So maybe that one's bad. But the rest, I didn't find egregious. They are just slightly annoying that they were happening and not getting called, and it didn't feel like it was being balanced out the other way. I think for the most part, the refs kind of let both teams play. That's what makes those ticky-tack fouls early on kind of annoying. Makes them annoying, but I was okay with it. Besides the Tony one, I was actually okay with it.
The Creed one was bad, and the one I would agree with, the one that some people on social media thought was really bad, the Nick Bolton hit out of bounds was absolutely a flag. It'd be a flag on every quarterback in the end. That was egregiously stupid play.
Herbert
Nick Bolton.
Herbert
flopped. He was. You cannot hit a quarterback like that.
Correct.
It's gonna get called.
Hey, do us a favor. Hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. Again, leave some comments. Talk some smack. Celebrate this win. It's a big one. And, there's so many things that we need to talk about. One of them, I think, look, we haven't got to Isaiah Pacheco much yet.
Got to talk about it.
The man averaged 7 yards a carry. And, I know they opened this and they opened that, you know, the second half of the series where they were just running the ball at will until they had to get into a special situation, third and short, and just completely derailed their drive. We'll probably talk more about that on the lab. But look, Isaiah Pacheco is the Leo Chenal of the Chiefs offensive rookies. Violence and physicality, baby. I loved watching Isaiah Pacheco run the football tonight, Craig.
Yeah, he was awesome. And he just runs with so much intensity, so much fire, and so well in gap schemes that they love to use with Isaiah Pacheco, and he's awesome at them. Hey, gap you guys want to know why Orlando Brown Jr. looks so good and why Trey Smith looks so good today? They're running things that suit the personnel, and it definitely suits Isaiah Pacheco. He hits the hole with so much aggressiveness and intensity and bad intentions. It is absolutely awesome to watch him tout the rock here. Did a great job in pretty much everything except for one pass protection play. Obviously something that he can clean up here. You go 15 carries for over 100 yards. You did something right, especially when there wasn't anything that was like an earth-shattering run. It's not like he busted like an 80-yard, 90-yard run. This wasn't a Damian Williams stat line. This was chunk play after chunk play. They were just killing them on the ground, and Isaiah Pacheco had a lot to do with that.
No, absolutely, and I'm glad that you brought up the gap scheme stuff, because you know who had his newest best game of the season? Trey Smith, out here murdering Chargers left and right when he's allowed to pull through the hole or he's looking for help on plays. Like, the Chiefs very clearly have this path to running the football that works really well, and there is a hard refusal to do it. I don't know what it is. They're very hesitant. The entire NFL is putting this data in front of you to say, run more gap stuff. Then the Chiefs do it, and it's like, oh, this works. We can go an entire drive down the football field and just run gap stuff, and it works. Let's not do it anymore again for a while. Like, it's hilarious the Chiefs do it, but it's also awesome they can pull it out of nowhere and have fun. And I think Pacheco is the perfect running back they have for it. Like, it stinks for Clyde. I think he would look better if they went this gap scheme heavy stuff than he has for the Chiefs. But I do think Pacheco's violence and burst and just acceleration downhill matters so much to that scheme. So I'm glad they did it. This offensive line looked physical. They looked tough. They looked like we kind of thought they would coming into the year. So it's coming together when they decide to do it. And I'm happy for it, because Pacheco deserves it, man. He's out there running hard. We just need him to pass protect as hard as he's running.
The Chiefs will need Isaiah Pacheco in a lot of different ways, at least for the next few weeks, because per Andy Reid, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a high ankle sprain. I don't know if you're going to give that as part of the update later, Tucker. I'm sorry if I was stealing your thunder, but it does sound like probably going to miss some time, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which could mean Ronald Jones is in the mix sooner than we think as well. So,
Derek Gore got cut or waived.
Oh, that's worth keeping an eye on, too, for sure.
Shout out Ryan Crawford on Twitter. And, yes, I've gotten, like, three messages. Yes, I'm wearing my Super Bowl ring today, because you wear rings on championship days.
Yeah, this is like a raw version of Beej that I haven't seen in a minute. Like, just,
feistiest one
I guess. He is so feisty. But, like, it's been boiling up since the start
it's
of the game.
It's not from the show. It's been like this the entire time. I stepped into the bar.
I told him at one point he needed a massage. He's like, no, don't. We need to win the AFC West. I was like,
fired up.
Okay. All right. Should we talk about the defense a little bit, though? Like, I guess. Maybe just a little bit. Slam that like button. Slam that like button, please. Slam that subscribe button, please. It really, again, helps us grow this channel. Helps more Chiefs fans find us. Which, you know, hey, we're trying to find more people. We're trying to get more people involved with the Solo KC stuff too. You can click the link there too. So, let's talk about the defense though, Craig. I mean, it was ugly early, but man, like, this team really responded well on the defensive side of the ball. What were the big adjustments that you think they made from first half to second half?
They played better. I mean, largely the defensive line was getting pushed around a little bit in that first half. Guys that we've been praising a lot, Chris Jones, Colin Saunders, you know, did not have their best games there in that first half. There were lanes to run through. The Chargers were able to sustain drives, and the Chargers, Joe Lombardi did a really good job of calling a very off-balance script. The Chiefs were unable to really kind of hang with it. And then you started to see some of the tells occurring. And Steve Spagnuolo now, this is the fifth week in a row that he has turned around and he said, okay, we're getting ready to go into halftime. It's before halftime, actually. It's like the couple drives right beforehand that he's doing such a good job of making adjustments and starting to tee off on the tendencies sending more blitzes, sending more designed gap, you know, fills and things like that, depending on what Joe Lombardi's calling. And then all of a sudden that helps make it better because the offensive line is not able to put their heads down, just kind of bulldoze. They don't know where the Chiefs are coming from. They got to have their heads on a swivel. And now that opens things up for the Chiefs defensive line. And it really did turn the tide. Everybody started playing so much better. Legarius Sneed, huge rebound game today. Played an awesome game. Did a great job doing that. But I mean, the hat tip has to go to the defensive line there in the second half because they were the ones that kind of helped turn this thing on its head, get the Chiefs back in it.
I think I also got to, you know, throw a little bit out to Steve Spagnuolo because he's going to catch a lot of flack for some other stuff in this game. And I don't know if I necessarily disagree, but the Chargers were killing the Chiefs and they would go under center and then hit those little bootleg rollouts and they were throwing the ball back across the field and they were destroying the Chiefs with it. And I don't think the Chiefs ever had a good plan to cover it. But what they kind of did in the second half, they started having a linebacker, or we saw Legarius Sneed do it one play. They were starting to blitz, or they were starting to roll over specifically to the Chargers' right-hand side because that's the way they were calling all of those plays. And all it takes is for one or two of those to go bad, and you don't do it as much because the last thing you want for a QB still playing with sore ribs is to get a free rusher running at him with his back turned to him, right? So the Chiefs just even showing that they had some kind of answer for that forced the Chargers to back off of that. And then we'll see whatever, you know, secondary adjustments the Chiefs put in there. But all of a sudden, the Chargers had a lot less success when they were getting it. I mean, we look at the Chargers like one long scoring drive. It was 3rd and 17, and they threw a YOLO ball up to a guy that was completely covered who just made a great play. That's their only, like, really good drive there in the second half. That's the only time they ended up with a touchdown in the second half.
There's only points in the second half.
I think they only had, like, 80 yards combined in the second half outside of that play, which is about 50 yards.
Yep. Right. And it was perfectly covered. Joshua Woods was in a perfect position. He stacked Keenan Allen and pinned him to the sideline. Keenan Allen made an all-pro wide receiver level play and then made a diving catch. It is what it is. No one's at fault for that. It just happened. But you were like, that was what the Chargers had to do in the second half to have success. I'm with Craig. The defensive line was dominant, but I do think Spags and that defensive coaching staff made good changes to get them off that play action rollout kind of kick they started the game on.
They were in their bag with the play action stuff too. Like, I mean, like, this was a kitchen sink game for them. So like
every game is for them.
You're gonna see a lot of different concepts when you rewatch the tape. Like the zone, like the half roll zone pass kind of look where you're showing the zone, you're faking a boot, you're actually throwing back to the other side. Like just getting them into naked rules and then hey, the backside of that play is kind of screwed up. So you're going to see, I think, a lot of different play action concepts when you go back and rewatch it. It's just like they just like, again, this team threw the kitchen sink this game. And look at it. We talked about the magnitude of this game.
Yep.
You don't think the Chargers knew exactly what was on the line here tonight? They knew exactly what was on the line here tonight. They're the ones on their heels. Mm-hmm. They're the ones with the only shot, really, of slowing the Chiefs down. Now they're four games out because they can't take care of business in Arrowhead West. Sorry. Anyways, moving on. Anything else on the defensive side of the ball you want to talk about?
Finish nine. Oh, yeah. Just looking at some of the box score stats, Craig. I want to know what some of the things that you charted, because just looking at some of the simple stats, like Chargers made with 2 tackles for loss. Chiefs had 9 tackles for loss in this game. And with the 5 sacks that the Chiefs had in this game, they already have more sacks through 10 games than they had through 17 regular season games last year. Just phenomenal job by Steve Spagnuolo and the defense, particularly in the second half. What we talked about, that drive at the end of the first half, I think really energized them going into halftime, because it could have been a completely different scenario. It could have been a 2-possession game before they went into halftime and the Chargers got the ball back. Instead, the Chiefs defense stepped up and gave the offense a chance to get back into it.
It was that drive. It was coming out after the half. Now, what, that one wasn't a 3-and-out, but got a stop, forced a punt, then had a 3-and-out. Then the only drive that you're really allowing any kind of yardage in the second half, you force a fumble. You give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes and company. Like, you, they were flying sky high at that point, and it did. It took an insane effort from Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, who, by the way, told us that the Tyreek Hill move was going to expose some people. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it's going to expose some people. I'm not sure who those people
was. He calling out his own defense?
I guess so. I'm not sure. But anyway, no.
Travis Kelce exposed Derwin James today.
Like a drum.
Like a drum.
Sorry, Chris.
It was great that Chris Jones now has 9 sacks, which is tied his high under Steve Spagnuolo. He's one sack away that he's going to get in the next seven games from being Steve Spagnuolo's first double-digit sack haver in Kansas City. That is going to happen. He played such good football. But also shout out to Mike Dana, who apparently gets way up for Chargers games. My goodness. He was a menace all game long. He was
so good
in the backfield. He was abusing that offensive line. Absolutely awesome job by Mike Dana as well. Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, George Karloftis put in good stints as well. But Dana and Chris Jones were just terrors along the defensive line.
I appreciate everybody on social media that's trying to make sure that I get another mule. Sorry to jump in there real quick, but I've really not really drank that much. This is how fired up I've been the entire time.
No, you should still get another mule.
I want to
make sure we also give Deion Bush and Brian Cook some credit here because Juan Thornhill had to leave the game. And I mean, it's not correlative, but the Chiefs defense started playing better. I'm not saying it's a one-to-one reason. That's not why, but they stepped in and played good, right? They stepped in and they played well in Juan Thornhill's absence. So like that was good for those guys. We saw Deion Bush getting in there late on that last final interception. So yeah. Like, we want to make sure we give credit to some other young guys getting in there, being forced into reps. Trent McDuffie, hardly challenged all game. That's, teams don't want to throw the ball his way a ton, and that's probably a good thing. I'm excited to go back and watch
him. Who played in the slot, Matt. Go ahead.
Started the game in the slot, and I think Pierce Collinsworth highlighted it. Legarius Sneed, specifically said, I want to follow Mike Williams. That seemed to change in the second half, and I think that would be after Mike Williams left the game, right? So Mike Williams leaves the game. Now Sneed gets back in the slot. That's where we get some of these plays with him against the run, him shutting down the bootleg stuff. But he specifically said, I want to cover Mike Williams. I wonder if that played a role, because Trent McDuffie started the game in the slot, looked good doing it. But I don't know if that's a full-on change to expect. I really do wonder if that was matchup dependent because Sneed was asking for it, who, after giving up that one catch to Mike Williams on the sideline, played a hell of a football game. I mean, just absolutely making pass breakup after pass breakup the rest of the entire game. So secondary gets a shout out here too. The defense didn't play great, but we're giving credit to a lot of different guys here. I mean, we got to do it. Nick Bolton just making play after clutch play every single game. He's like Dan Sorensen, but on steroids, because he does it every game, no matter who the opponent is. He's just the most clutch defender they have.
He is.
You just triggered half of Chiefs Kingdom.
He's saying the most positive parts about that. Dan Sorensen showed up against AFC West opponents was elite. Turned the ball over like crazy. Nick Bolton does these things every single week. He's showing up in big, big ways, There are things about this defense. He's kind of an embodiment of the defense. You can look at it and be like, man, I see the wart there. I see the thing there. I see where, where some of the elements where it doesn't look the best, but they show up in big, big moments, and they show up and they make plays. That's exactly what Nick Bolton is, and that's why he's the Michael linebacker on this defense.
Yeah, he forces the fumble late. And also, he came down with the interception. He came sprinting down the field. I can't wait to watch the All-22 on that to see where he ran from to be in pursuit for that play, because the ball goes up in the air. And I mean, that was a terrible throw, but the reaction to get down there and go down and make a play down the field like that. Like, I can't wait to see where he came from on that play.
It was had to be far away based on where everybody else was. So yeah, I mean, but it was even before that, though. There was a play to the outside that he swallowed up. It's like he does a great job of making splash plays, and it's not always at the end of the game, although that's where the most of them come. It's just throughout the entire game. And honestly, Willie Gay is kind of the same way. He shut down that screenplay that the Chargers try to get called up, and if he doesn't carry that offensive tackle on out, or if he's not there and that tackle gets to go up to McDuffie, I believe it was, that's a big play. There was another run there on the outside. Chris Jones ate the pulling guard, but Willie Gay did a great job holding off, sealing the edge and then making the tackle. We all saw the sack where he came clean on the blitz. They have two linebackers that make a lot of splash plays. And I think to Craig's point, they also kind of embody the defense as a whole, because there are going to be areas I don't even think you can nitpick that you can just point to and say, that's not always my favorite thing to see from them. But then does it matter at the end of the day, because they show up, they make the big plays when it matters. That's this linebacker group right now. So, I mean, this is cool and all. Defense is fun, but we got to get back to the offense eventually, right?
We're going to get back to the offense in 1 second. Before we do that, I want to shout out Tracy Bonnell, Leanne Schultz, Patrick Donahue, Jessica Mullen, just a few of the people that have donated since this postgame show has started to the Soul of Casey raffle. Tucker, bring up that graphic one more time. Again, 25 different prizes, everything from a Patrick Mahomes jersey to lunch with Colin Saunders, and you can pick two of your friends during the offseason to go hang out with Colin. We've got cheese tickets to the Christmas Eve game against Seattle, two tickets plus parking pass to that game, monthly sampler from Cookie Society, different gift cards. We've got a bunch of signed stuff, a lot of cool stuff here, and all of the money again is going towards presents that we're purchasing for Operation Breakthrough. 100% of the proceeds are directly going to just buying presents and then giving those directly to Operation Breakthrough in their Christmas store to make sure more kids in Kansas City have a great Christmas. If you donate while we're on this show, I will shout you out. Again, you can donate to the Venmo at KC Sports Network. Again, it's a 501c3. Everything is tax deductible. Our community outreach coordinator, Christian Gumminger, will send you the receipt. Make sure you get take care of your taxes, but shout out to there. Now let's get back. Maddie wants to talk a little bit more about the offense.
I got a perfect quote to start it, unless you had something. Nope. Patrick Mahomes, here's a quote. There was no doubt that we were going to go down there and score.
I love that, man.
The swag on the best player in the world. I don't know where Maddie, where'd you want to go with this offense? Is it the drive, or is there something else you want to touch on? I don't care. Let's just talk about the best player in the world in his offense.
I just want to talk about the arc from the first half to the second half, because I think we kind of did that defensively, how the defense was struggling a little bit in the first half. So just the arc of the offense going from – I mean, they had a drive where they essentially ran the ball just about every single play going down the field. Like, when is the last time Andy Reid pulled something like that off, right? It's like this offense saw that there was issues in the first half, and I'm sure the wide receiver injuries are playing a role, but Mahomes looked a little out of sync with his receivers. He wasn't playing bad, just everything was out of sync. It was difficult for the offensive line to hold up and protect for him for long periods of time. And then we saw, as the game kept going, they started figuring out a lot of mesh concepts to beat man. They had it kind of dialed in what the Chiefs or the Chargers were trying to do and win. God, look at this throw. He's got to keep stopping.
That's insane.
Oh, my God.
It's wild. And so, yeah, it's just, I think that the change from the offense in the first half to the second half is something I'm excited to go back and see. And also, I also wanted to shout out Jody Fortson. Not only that catch, watch every Travis Kelce touchdown. There's one guy out there blocking his ass off every single time, and it's Jody Fortson just getting everybody. It's like, I just think the offense did a fantastic job. I don't think we can say enough about them at all.
Shout out Alex Weinstock. Shout out Grayson Jaspers. Appreciate you for donating.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back on that, like, they're a Jerick McKinnon fumble deep in territory there from putting more points on the board. Like, it was humming a little bit there in the second half. I know that when we were sitting there watching the first half, it's like, oh, man, this isn't going well. This isn't really resulting in what we wanted to do. Chiefs come out, go field goal, touchdown, the fumble deep in Charger territory, touchdown. That's a great close out there, putting 17 points on the board when your defense is holding them to 7. Like, at that point, when they went into the half and the Chiefs were down, I think at that point, you were just hoping defense comes up with a couple more stops, offense can find their rhythm. They absolutely did in the second half. That's exactly what happened. And then you get to watch Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes essentially walk it off.
There's something about Mahomes too about this game that I think it's gonna sound like I'm just gonna, like, I'm fanboying and I'm just like a blind homer and all this.
You
stuff.
Are. That's okay.
A little bit.
We love you for it.
Thank you. but like one of the things I kind of appreciate, and I think you're gonna probably appreciate watching back, is even the way that Mahomes was getting rid of the ball and just eating plays at times during this game was actually pretty impressive, and it showed a lot of restraint and it showed a lot of growth and maturity, where there might have been some moments where maybe he takes a sack or tries to do a little bit too much at times, but he had enough, you know, wherewithal to try to just get rid of the ball, burn the play, live to fight another down. And like, statistically, for a while it suffered because they killed quite a few plays this week. But even just like the decision making on those things, he didn't really put the ball. I'm trying to think when he put the ball at risk at all today. I don't think he did. I think
there was a couple throwaways when under pressure that, like, you would just, the Chargers defenders were a little upset they didn't get to, but that's about it.
We're good there. BJ, you want to jump in with something? You had something. It sounded like you for a second ago.
I was watching the highlights, just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Was anyone surprised? Was anyone surprised that Willie Gay didn't get a taunting penalty on the sideline, too smalling the entire Chargers defense for Pacheco, or that the Chiefs didn't get an unsportsmanlike penalty for the way Kelce and Mahomes and everybody were celebrating the touchdown? Like, that was going on for a while. Like, I thought there was a flag coming on both of those plays because it just seemed like one of those games where emotions maybe got out of hand.
I was jumping up and down and screaming. I wasn't paying any attention.
I was saying, I don't even remember what happened.
Willie's too small was too good. They couldn't penalize it. Like that it was just too good on the sidelines. And then, you know, Travis,
the ref
Travis tried to throw a football through that wall three times today. That was.
Dude, I was like, I mean, we were all hyped and amped and like out on the game winner. Like that ball was sailing. I've been watching people like fly out. Like if you're watching them throw it up against the wall, like people are just like flying out of the way of that thing.
I still can't get over. I know we talked about it earlier. We just kind of brushed past it. Patrick Mahomes 14-0 in road divisional football games. Like, that is so silly. And then 25 straight wins in November and December for the Chiefs.
That's nuts. I mean, and that's how you
suck playing against that. Them. Just gotta it's, suck.
But that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Hard
look,
to sit and just think about that and just be like, damn.
I wrote about this during analysis. The offseason. The AFC West is absolutely disgusted and fed up with the Kansas City Chiefs.
What can they do?
They can't do anything because they don't have Patrick Mahomes.
Spend
like
more
Justin
money.
Justin Herbert was as a robot built in a factory to play quarterback in the National Football League. And he's not good enough. Like, it's ridiculous. They went all in to try to beat this team. They went and spent $1 billion in the AFC West, and they couldn't. They couldn't do anything. Is it toast time?
It is toast time.
Fine.
Let's get to this. All right. Now it is time for our toast game, MVP of the game. We're going to go around the horn here and do a toast game presented by our friends at Holiday Distillery. If you're in the Kansas City area, head up to Western Missouri. Go up and check out. Take the tour of Holiday Distillery, the new bottle and bonded Ben Holiday bourbon. They've got 360 vodka, a lot of products. My personal favorite is the Five Farms Irish Cream, the presenting sponsor of our Outside the Trenches show. But MVP for me, toast game, raise my glass, just Steve Spagnuolo. The way the adjustment that he had in the second half and what we've seen from the Chiefs defense this year, so many eyes, so many young dudes playing on that side of the ball. And we'll break it down in more in a better way throughout the week and give more context to us. I know Craig does a great job with that, but so many young dudes playing on the defense, so many injuries, and they still step up and took every best shot they had from the Chargers, and they're still able to come out on top. So it's the coach Spagnuolo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Am I up next? Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to toast to the best tight end in Kansas City Chiefs history, my tight end mm-hmm. and one in Kansas City Chiefs history, and perhaps the best tight end in the history of the National Football League.
Perhaps.
Travis Kelce, 3 touchdowns on the day, the most fun dynamic duo in sports right now, Mahomes and Kelce.
Who'd he beat?
Derwin James.
Like Derwin a drum.
James. Like a drum. Team. All right, I'm up next. My toast game is actually going to 3 people here. It's going to
Chris
Jones,
Dave Ziegler, Tom Telesco, and George Payton. Those are the general managers for the other teams of the AFC West. You guys made this one extra sweet this year by spending all of that money just to get run out of the AFC West, the worst
embarrassing
that you have been in years. So, toast game to you guys. This one was especially sweet.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, man. Savage.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that, but mine's going to Corey Coleman for going out into the field and telling Derwin James how afraid the Chiefs were of him after their first game earlier this year and spending the entire time on the field talking about how afraid they were and how they couldn't beat him going into this game. Well, we'll see how that went for Corey Coleman and Derwin James then.
Like a drum.
0-2.
I really would like in the group text of all the GMs. Like, it's just, what are they possibly saying? I mean, like a great social.
There's
like
probably social one that Brett's not invited to where they're just all just miserable.
What the fuck do we do?
Can't do anything.
Trade for everybody.
They're colluding.
Spend more money.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, keep spending. The Chiefs are going to be cap healthy. All their draft picks made plays today. And the Chargers spent $1 billion and still just couldn't do a thing. Oh, so delicious. Much like Ben Holiday bourbon.
Tuck, how you doing? Do you have a toast game for us? He's Did not even bet, close Tuck? To prepared.
No, I didn't win my bet. Kadarius Toney needed 35 receiving yards, and that was the only thing that did not hit. So my toast game is to good health. I wasn't ready.
All right, so good health.
Playing on grass and not turf.
I wasn't ready, guys.
Good health.
I didn't even have my headset on.
You
could have
just said Mahomes.
Just a good health.
Nobody hit that yet?
Nope, I hadn't hit that yet.
No, you can't go back.
I put him on a project and see how fast he could do it.
Crap, dang it. I'm almost got the project done.
Send us your questions. You know, let us know in the comment section, what grade do you give that game for the Kansas City Chiefs? And what, sitting at 8-2 right now, pretty much wrapped up the division, 7 regular season games to go. What record do you predict the Chiefs finish with? So give us grade that you give that game and record prediction for the rest of it. And any questions or comments, and Tucker will bring those up while he's in the middle of his project. But we'll get some final thoughts.
To Tucker's health.
To Tucker's health.
Good health.
He's looking very flustered right now.
This is the best. We got to save this clip. But yeah, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, please, too, if you wouldn't mind. It's, again, it helps us grow the channel, helps more Chiefs fans find us. We have 17 Chiefs shows that run every single week. You get all kinds of breakdowns from guys like Matt Castle, Derek Johnson, and also Craig, who's great. And yeah, we got a bunch of shows. We'll be live on Monday at 8 p.m. Central, the KC Laboratory, me, Craig, and Maddie. Breaking down this game, celebrating this game, because this was a big one, guys. I mean, we spent so much time talking about it, and like, I think if you look big picture at this game moving forward, right, like this is one of the three probably biggest games left on the schedule. I think one of the most stressful games that you had left on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They pass it, they move on, they advance.
Fountain Coach Reed's a burner.
1-0, one game at a time. Well, 1-0 today.
What's up, Andy? How's the cheeseburger?
Listen. But yeah, the magnitude of this game, guys, like it's huge. Like I think you're looking at, you know, this. I'm not scared of the Seahawks, but I think that's one of the biggest challenges left. You're looking at a big game against the Bengals, which I just don't see this team. I just don't see this team letting the Bengals beat them again. Like I just don't. And so I think you're gonna get a over my dead body LeVon performance. That might put a nail in the MVP whenever they do line up.
Quick shout out to Bradley Hiserote, Michael Stevens, Matthew Kentner, Ryan Crawford, Michael Bell, and Jamie Domenico for donating and buying raffle tickets to the Soul of KC raffle. We appreciate you. Got about 5 more minutes. Buy any raffle tickets. We'll continue to shout you out again to help kids in Kansas City have a chance to win some cool stuff as well.
We're seeing a lot of 14-3 predictions for the Chiefs in the comments. So
everybody else is predicting that week 18 game's not going to matter too. Good.
Well, here's the thing. Like the Bills and the Chiefs are effectively tied for for the race for the one seed because the Bills own the tiebreaker. So if the Chiefs slip up, one more time,
well, not tied because they have to slip up.
Well, it's
a half game.
Yeah, it's a half game.
And, I mean, you know, as we all anticipated, the Bills play in the much tougher division, so.
Yeah.
As we all predicted.
What people thought the AFC West was going to be.
The juggernaut of the AFC East, as everyone was discussing earlier this offseason in March when the Chargers. Oh, man. Yeah, the Chargers were crowned. Like, it's weird. The Chargers have to give up their AFC West crown.
Shout out Corey Peter. Saw your comment. Check. Yes, you did. Appreciate your donation. Good luck with your raffle ticket.
Yeah, this is fun. This one feels good. I think I get the emotion, Beach. I get the emotion. Tucker, you got anything?
He is really close to doing something he's really excited about. All right, we got a shout out, some KCSN update on Friday. Every Friday, I talk to Trevor Sycamore from Pro Football Focus, friend of the network, good dude, known Trevor a long time. Here is what he had to tell me on Friday about his score prediction for this game.
All right, Trevor, let's get your prediction for this game on Sunday night.
I think Chiefs are winning this game. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think it's obviously going to be back and forth. I hope those two wide receivers play because it'd be a lot of fun if they do.
Your dog agrees.
Yeah, my dog obviously agrees. He's getting very hyped up about it. Final score last time was 27-24, right? Wasn't that the final score last time?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I mean, I'd say something close to that now.
Line's probably 52. Now the over-under is 52.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be like 30-27. Chiefs win this game. I think it's going to be 30-27. The Chiefs win.
Hey!
How often does that happen? Shout out to Trevor. We're going to clip that for social media. Make sure we tag Trevor in it. Give him all the credit in the world. Good dude, Trevor. Make sure hit that like and subscribe button. You won't miss any of those. We've got all kinds of guests throughout the week. They've got a live laboratory tomorrow. I'll be talking with ESPN's Matt Miller tomorrow, getting his stock up, stock down report. We talk to The Athletic's Nate Taylor every Tuesday. We talk to Brett Coleman of YouTube legend, Brett Coleman of Bootleg Football on Wednesdays. We've got a special guest, not going to say who it is, we haven't done it just in case, but we've got a special guest and a former Chiefs player from just a couple years ago that I'm going to interview on Tuesday. Make sure you check that out. So hit that like and subscribe button so you don't miss that. He was a fan favorite. So I think everybody's really going to enjoy that conversation.
Absolutely. I'm buzzing, man. This is so much fun. Great way to go into Thanksgiving. I'm not coming down from this high either, buddy.
I just think fucking thought they had it, just spending all the money, making all the trades, and guess what? You can't do it. Seven straight. Eat shit, everyone. Sorry,
we might run out of fingers.
So many dollars to give to the swear jar.
Yeah, you do. There's another one.
Bought a round for the entire bar a minute ago.
BJ's on one, man. I wish y'all would have seen him. He was like, I tried to hug him, and he about knocked me out.
I mean, I've seen you go down to the door heading into the bathroom of that exact bar and grill, so it's not that surprising.
I get really mad. I don't want to be around people, so I'll go watch the game in a corner by myself. And I'm also very superstitious. So, yeah, RIP, I will show the ring again. Worked really hard, played really well to get this, but
you did.
I got it, so I'm going to wear it.
You should.
And my daughter will take it. So, appreciate all of you. Again, we'll get final thoughts. Kent, let's start with you.
Just the magnitude of this game. I know like we're running on a high for a lot of different reasons, but when you're pursuing the one seed, which I think is super important with the bye week, this is a big one to get off get off the board. So I'm very excited about that beyond just everything else that we've experienced today.
All right, let's go to Tucker next. I gave him a heads up this time.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, man. He's the MVP. Yes. Really gonna go with Patrick Mahomes.
Toast to him, Tuck.
Shout out
to Mahomes. Shout out Patrick Mahomes for Tuck.
And to better health for Mahomes.
Stab myself. Yeah. All right, Maddie, what you got?
I just wonder who the Chargers hate more, Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce. Like, right? Who's Kelce more hated amongst that fan base? I just wonder who's the most hated player that's ever existed. It's got to be Kelce. And like on that same note, God, he's so damn good. We spend this entire time talking about Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so, and all these other stuff. But sometimes, like, I feel like it almost goes brushed under the rug how good at football Travis Kelce is. And, you know, we can't let that go. We can't forget it because he's – not just the best tight end that's ever played, but like you're getting a guy that is up there with any of the best skill positions that's ever played a game during a generation. Don't forget it after, you know, as he gets a little bit older in years in like a decade from now. Don't forget it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when's that fall off going to happen? Because I'm not sure that it is. Steve Spagnuolo, once again, comes out after the half, shuts down another offense that was kind of kicking the crap out of him in the first half. That's good. That's the sort of things that wins you playoff games, because everybody's going to come at the Chiefs. Everybody's going to throw the kitchen sink at the Chiefs. The Chargers had to have this game to stay in pace with the Kansas City Chiefs in the division, to keep their playoff hopes alive, all of that wonderful stuff. And it didn't matter. Steve Spagnuolo makes the adjustments. They come out after the half. That is playoff winning football, and he's doing it in the regular season right now. Lots of things to be excited about from this team.
My final thought is just talk your shit this week, Chiefs Kingdom, because you've earned this after all the offseason, all the crap that everybody's had. 8-2, basically sealing up the division in week 11. If you would have said that, you would have been cooked on social media during the offseason when the Broncos making all their trades and the Raiders and Chargers and all that. So you absolutely earned this. This is a good week. And everybody, we appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please have a safe and fantastic Thanksgiving week. And again, please, if you're still tuned in, hit that like and subscribe button. We'll have plenty of content leading up and then kind of taking things easy. We'll have some content planned for Thursday, but we're going to get a chance to go and spend time with our family. So let's get sappy here for a second. Give one thing you're thankful for. Tucker, you can't say Patrick Mahomes. You can't fucking do it.
What do you got? I am I'm thankful for my wife is so supportive of all this, and I'm just really grateful I get to do all this stuff. So, yeah, pretty grateful for her.
We'll be quick with these. What do you got? You fucking do it.
I was going to say Brett Veach, but then he said his wife, and I'd feel bad. So, shout out Tara. I'm thankful for Tara and my family.
Yeah, you just copied mine.
It's going to be really interesting to see who breaks the mold here. All right, Craig.
Yeah, my family and you guys who are also my family. So I love all you. I'm very thankful for all of you. Mwah.
Maddie.
Yeah. My daughter's finally showing an interest in the Chiefs. So, you know, thankful for that. It's a lot of fun to have a kid out there that, you know, is enjoying football a little bit with you too. I can't stay up for these games, but thankful there. And for Patrick LeVon Mahomes, who's going to win the MVP.
At least he started with his family. I'm going to shout out my family. I'm going to shout out my wife, Megan. I've been doing KC Sports Network for 18 months. It has been a crazy ride. I love every one of these dudes. We joke around a lot. We put out a lot of content. We work our tails off. But it has been an absolute blast over the last 18 months. And I cannot wait for people to see all the things that we have planned coming up, because it's only going to be cooler. It's only going to be bigger. And we appreciate all that. And one thing I love about my family, my daughter, my son, is my son has absolutely fallen in love with football over like the last 6 months. We're going to have a conversation with that with one of the guys that I'll be interviewing this week and talking about that, because he was very much a part of this. But my son every day wants to play catch. He wants to go out and punt. Now he wants to be a punter. He's going out there asking all kinds of questions. Smart. We were out there for like 2 hours today before we came up to the bar to watch this game. So everybody, we appreciate you for tuning in, and we're thankful for all of you. None of this is possible without your support and watching us, supporting what we've got going on. So say it a lot, mean it wholeheartedly, that none of this would be possible without your guys' support, whether it's on YouTube, again, Facebook, social media, or you listen to the podcast. We appreciate everybody out there. We appreciate you for tuning in and spending part of your night with us, or part of your day if you're watching the replay or listening to the podcast. So thank you all for tuning in. Have a safe, have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we will be back next Sunday when the Chiefs take on the LA Rams in the afternoon. We'll be here with more coverage, and again, plenty of great content coming from us throughout this week. So for myself, BJ Kissel, for Kent Swanson, Tucker Franklin, Maddie Lane, and Craig Stout, we appreciate all of you, and we'll see you next time.
Love you, Tuck.